Evening, John chapter 9, as we continue walking through this beautiful gospel, John chapter 9, and we'll look together at the first five verses this evening of John 9. The Bible says, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So the night cometh. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we pray that you would use your word now in our lives. You guide us in your truth. Lord, that you be magnified in this time. We want to hear from you this evening, and we commit it to you and love you and pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. So remember, when Jesus looked on the world, what did he see but people that were all blind? Because if you aren't saved, you're blind. And this man pictured what you and I were before we were saved. We were born with this infirmity of spiritual blindness, weren't we? If you go to Ephesians 2, we'll see this. And God one day shined his light on us through the gospel, and we believed and left darkness and went from darkness to light. Notice Ephesians 2, verse 1. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in time past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We were by nature the children of wrath. Our fallen nature. And so we were born sinners. And now the disciples are going to use this blind man to actually teach us another lesson. And that is that, no, the world is not run based on karma. And no, there isn't reincarnation. We hear about all these things through the Eastern religions, don't we? And so their assumption was that all suffering, and it's a lot like what we saw when we went through the book of Job, that all suffering is as a result of a direct sin. And we know that's not true. Now, sometimes we do suffer because of sin. It might be chastisement, or it may just be the fruits of what we've chosen to do. Many sin carries with it a fruit, you know, like smoking is lung cancer or whatever. But not all suffering is due to sin, even though the world actually looks at it this way often. And that's kind of the teaching of the prosperity theology that's rampant in churches today, the teaching that, you know, when you're right with God, you'll be healthy, you'll be rich, and you'll have no problems. And so therefore, if you have problems, or if you have health issues, or if you're broke, then you're out of the will of God. And the only problem with that is just not true. Many times the opposite is true. Remember, when we look through Job, Eliphaz, well, let's turn there in Job chapter 4. Eliphaz expressed it in kind of the world's way. He was one of the friends that came to comfort Job, and they ended up instead accusing Job, as we saw. But Eliphaz, the first of the speakers, notice what he said here in chapter 4, verse 7 of Job. Remember, I pray thee, who ever perished being innocent, or where were the righteous cut off? Whoever had problems when they were innocent? Well, first of all, none of us are innocent. But the implication is that when you perish or when you have issues, That is always as a result of some sort of sin. And yet the Bible teaches that we all are going to have trials, doesn't it? So they saw this blind man sitting there and they said, well, Lord, obviously somebody sinned or he wouldn't be blind. Either he sinned or his parents sinned. And you know, the world makes this assumption a lot, don't they? Oh, that's karma. That's happening to them because they were bad. Or maybe in their former life they were bad or whatever. It's just not true. It's just not the way things work in God's program. So Jesus here in verse 3 of John 9 gives the clear answer. Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents. This blindness was not as a direct result of this man's sin or his parents' sin. And we need to understand this as God's children. That when suffering comes, if we know we're not being chastised by God, then let's not look at it as a result of sin. Let's look at it as an opportunity for us to be refined by the Lord, which is often what the purpose of suffering is. Remember when Paul said to the Lord, please take away my thorn. 3 times he asked God to take away the thorn, and God said, no. My grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in weakness. You need the thorn, in other words, Paul. So, suffering is not always as a direct result of sin, and the disciples are about to learn this lesson. So, what we need to do is have a right perspective on suffering. You know, the 1 Peter 5:10, you hear me quote it all the time, the God of all glory that called us unto the God of all grace who hath called us unto his eternal by our Christ Jesus, after that you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. After that you've suffered a while, after you've gone through a trial, God will perfect you. God will establish you. God will settle you. So now Jesus takes the opportunity to not only teach us that not all suffering is as a result of, direct result of sin, but also that this blindness pictures spiritual blindness, and that one day this world will be in complete spiritual darkness. And he's referring to the tribulation period, which is yet to come. Notice verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. I must be busy about my Father's business. And you know, we're to be too. God says, 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's us. We're to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. We're here to serve Christ. We're here to work for the Lord. Just like Jesus said, I must work the works of God, we must work the works of God. He says, while it is day. Romans 13, let's turn there. But we are still in the day, praise God, the church age, but the night is coming. Notice Romans 13, let's look down at verse 13. Romans 13, 13, let us walk honestly as in the day. Not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. And then go over to 1 Thessalonians 5:5, if you would. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5. And what we find is that we are in the day. We're still in the time of daylight, which is the church age, when the Holy Spirit can freely reach out through God's people. 1 Thessalonians 5:5, did my thing die? There's batteries over here on this thing, if you wouldn't mind getting them for me, James. Thank you. So 1 Thessalonians 5:5, I'll talk louder. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. So God says that we as his children are what? We're children of light and we are children of the day. Now, that's not because we're special in and of ourselves. It's because we're saved. Amen? Because we accepted the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, we became the children of light and the children of the day. Thank you, my brother. It always happens right in the middle of a message, you know? It's just how it works. So we are the children of light. We are the children of the day. Jesus said he must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, the church age. Because he goes on to say back in our passage, verse 4, the night cometh. He's specifically there referring to the time that we've been studying as we've walked through the minor prophets, and that is the time of darkness on the earth. 7 years of God's wrath being poured out on this world. And what he says there is the night comes when no man can work. The night is coming when people will not be as receptive to the gospel. Instead, the Antichrist will be running the world. Imagine what that'll be like. Be terrible. So let's go to Amos and we'll see where God actually describes this coming time as a time of darkness. Amos chapter 5, verse 20. We're currently preaching through Amos, so we'll actually get to this verse in the next couple of weeks. But notice Amos chapter 5, verse 20. It says, "Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark and no brightness in it?" That's God's description of the coming tribulation period. The time of darkness and no brightness. You know, the main brightness of the church age is the Holy Spirit indwelling his people permanently. But when the church leaves, the Holy Spirit leaves with it. Now, he'll still be active in touching lives, but it looks like the permanent indwelling goes away. And think about, you know, we won't even know till we get to heaven how much of a restraining influence the church has on the devil, do we? I mean, yeah, we're the minority, but we still pray to a God who is all-powerful. And we still are the temple of the Holy Ghost. All that restraining, and the Holy Spirit's actually referred to the restrainer in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. All that restraining of the Holy Spirit leaves. And so the darkness can just run rampant. Which is why the Antichrist can just take over and run the world. And everybody will worship him, follow him. So that time is coming. It's not here yet. We need to warn people that it's going to get worse. And this time of darkness is coming. But go back to our passage, verse 5. Jesus says, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Again, contrasting light with darkness. The church age with the tribulation period. We've already saw where Jesus referred to himself as the light of the world. And what did he tell us in Matthew 5? "Ye are the light of the world." That's us. So that's what I meant earlier. Think about when all that light leaves simultaneously. All that salt gone. Instantly. Every believer gone. And every believer has the light of God in him. We are the light of the world. All that light disappears. And that's why God calls it a time of darkness. A time with no brightness. The world's walking in darkness, we're walking in the light. Because we have Jesus Christ. And he told us, go there, John 12:46. And so Jesus is using this, the healing of this blind man, which we'll see next week, to show us that he can give light to the blind. He can give sight to the blind. And before we were saved, we were blinded by Satan. So notice John 12:46, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in," what? "Darkness." So before we're saved, we abide in darkness. And then go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we'll see, sure enough, this is exactly what the devil does to the lost, is blind them and try to keep them in darkness. It should make us all that much more thankful that we heard the Holy Spirit and we responded. Amen? Notice 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. "If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So there's that word light. And so the God of this world blinds people's minds so that they cannot see the light. And that's why Jesus said they're walking in darkness. So our mission is to be that light and tell them the gospel of Jesus Christ so that the Holy Spirit can speak to their hearts. And if you go to Philippians chapter 2, we'll see that you and I are here to shine. Not with our own light, because we don't have any, but with Jesus' light, because we now have His light, and that's why He says to us, ye are the light of the world. Notice Philippians 2:15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. That's us. We're here to shine as lights in the world. Because the night cometh when no man can work. You and I won't be here to witness when the night comes. We'll be in heaven. And so we also, like Christ, must work the works of Him that sent us while it is day, because the night cometh when no man can work. Great truth. And all of that spiritual teaching from one blind man. Which next week we'll see where Jesus will heal him. Praise God. So He taught us that no, karma is not real. He taught us that no, not all suffering comes from sin, direct sin. That often suffering is God's will. And then He taught us that the whole world is blind and in living in darkness until they receive the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. Makes you that much more thankful that you did. Amen. Praise the Lord. Lord, thank you for your word and